Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. John Harding, a professor with the Western College of Veterinary Medicine. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Harding.
Thanks, Bruce. It's great to be speaking with you today.
A multi-institutional team of researchers has been overseeing a natural disease challenge model for evaluating resilience of swine to disease. First of all, a little bit of background. What prompted this effort, and when was it initiated?
The project started in 2015, and that was after several years of studying disease resilience specific to PRRS and circovirus. And that work really began somewhere around 2005 to 2006. I think we realized quickly that studying disease resilience to each and every individual disease would be a very slow process and very, very costly. So a group of us took upon the challenge to study disease resilience across multiple diseases, because that's the way disease really works in commercial farms, that multiple pathogens work simultaneously. So we wanted a bigger picture to approach resilience on a much bigger way than any individual disease.
What are the overall key objectives, and over what time frames?
Yeah, so the key objective is really quite simple. It's to find indicator traits of resilience that can be measured in high health farms, nucleus or multiplication farms, but that will improve disease resilience when those animals move into commercial farms that are less healthy. I think we all realize that commercial farms, you know, experience health challenges to varying degrees, but we can't select our nucleus animals under heavily challenged situations. So we have this dichotomy where genetic selection is occurring in healthy, high health farms where commercial pigs are raised in less healthy environments. So we want to make sure that we are able to select in a healthy farm for resilience in a dirty farm. So we started the project in 2015. It continues today, 4.5 years later. We have at least another 1,000 animals to test, or funding to test another 1,000 animals. And to date, we have tested or had about 4,800 animals start into this facility. As far as timeframes going forward, we've got decent preliminary data now. And I think within the next year or two, we will have better data with more significant results.
Who actually is involved in this effort, representing what interests, in what roles, and what expertise do they provide?
Yeah, so it's a big collaborative team, comprised of researchers across North America, so Canada, U.S., for sure. We've got some international partners, both in U.K. and in Europe as well. Within Canada, we've got universities of Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Guelph involved. We've got the Iowa State University. Our industry partner, main industry partner, is PigGen Canada, which is a consortium of the main breeding companies that operate in the country. We've got CDPQ in Quebec. We're using their facilities at their research facilities just outside of Quebec City. And we've got multiple funders. So PigGen Canada has put quite a substantial amount of money into it. Genome Canada, Alberta Pork, and Alberta government through the ALGP2 program. Swine Innovation Pork, USDA, through their NIFA program, and some others as well. So the research team is very broad-based, because a project like this requires many different skill sets. So we've got veterinarians that are monitoring health in the unit to ensure that there's substantial challenge to test resilience. We've got geneticists that are involved in analysis of data and providing animals to come into the unit. We've got animal scientists and ethologists studying behavior and just animal physiology. We've got immunologists that are studying response and measures of immunity that may be indicator traits. And encompassed in all of this is geneticists and genomicists then that are mapping out the swine genome in a way that we can find, you know, genes or other indicators that therefore would be related to resilience. So it's a very, very big team. And what we would anticipate is that the industry through PigGen would apply any of the knowledge or technology stemming from the project into the swine industry when that technology is ready to go.
Where is the work actually being conducted? Using what types of facilities? With what types or classes or ages of animals? And looking at what diseases or disease types?
Yeah, so the basic facilities is at the CDPQ test station outside of Quebec City. So that's a wean to finish commercial research facility, about 350 to 400 head split into kind of nursery area as well as a grow finish area. So it's a very common conventional facilities that would, you know, match, although smaller than what we would see in the commercial industry today. So it is kind of commercial research facilities. The basic model is pigs are supplied by PigGen Canada member companies, and those are F1 barrows. So it's the F1 generation that we're most interested in because the F1 female is the predominant female going into the industry. Females would not be readily available for a research project, so instead we're using the barrows but the same output from those multiplication farms. The diseases we're interested in are the common diseases that affect pigs in, you know, Canada or North America, with a few exceptions. So basic respiratory diseases, PRRS and mycoplasma, intestinal or diarrhea diseases, you know, standards like E. coli, Brachyspira, Salmonella, Watsonia, rotavirus, and then other diseases, systemic diseases. Strep suis comes to example, as well as Haemophilus parasuis. A couple interesting exceptions, though. There's no PED present in the farm because that would really lead us down to eliminating, which we're not interested in doing. We want a facility that has commercial diseases. We've had influenza, and we've had a serotype of ATP in the barn initially, but what's quite interesting is that they spontaneously eliminated from the population. The disease level and the number of diseases change over time. Some are pretty standard. They stay there, you know, batch after batch after batch, and others kind of come and go and wax and wane. Sometimes they decrease and then they come back up depending on what else is happening in the barn.
What methods are being used to generate the data? What specifically is being looked at and compared, and why?
Okay, so to understand that, I'll tell you a little bit about the model. So pigs enter the facilities at weaning at about 3 weeks of age, and then they spend 3 weeks in a quarantine area. And that quarantine area maintains a high health status. And we have somewhere between 60 and 75 pigs per batch, and a batch entering every 3 weeks. And that batch is from one of the specific multiplication farms, and they rotate over time. In that three-week quarantine, we have a number of immune response measures that are taken. So usually a blood sample, or it could be something else, but typically a blood sample is taken. And with that blood sample, then we would measure some aspect of the immune response just to get a baseline. After that three-week period, the pigs enter the challenge nursery, which is their first exposure to the disease challenge. And it's a natural disease challenge, so that means there's no inoculation or infection artificially. They're picking it up from pigs of the previous batch that are still in that nursery. So we do run this on a continuous flow basis because we do want continued transmission of disease from the previous batch to the new batch that just entered. After 4 weeks, they leave the challenge nursery and go into the grow finish period until market, and that's usually 16 to 18 weeks later. So after challenge begins, we then collect phenotypic data. And that would include, you know, basics like average daily gain, feed intake at the individual pen level or sometimes individual level in the grillfish, carcass, loin, eye, and fat. We measure health and immune responses. So that could be various antibodies could be measured. So it could be something like natural antibodies, which are inherent and always present. There are various blood cell assays that we would look at to look at, you know, what happens in response to disease. There are other, what I would say, omic or genomic assays that are run, trying to get a good measure of what's happening physiologically in the animal. And then overarching all of this is the genomic aspect, which is our attempt to look for specific genes or genetic markers that in fact are indicative of a resilience. And that's what we're really looking for, is what are the indicator traits in a high health unit that could be measured that are highly heritable and correlated with resilience. And if we can find those, then we can select animals on a high health unit that have high resilience when those animals enter a disease challenge unit.
What have been the key findings so far, and what is the significance of those findings?
We have been fortunate so far. The results are still relatively preliminary, but we have been fortunate so far to find a couple of measures of resilience. And one of the most promising and the earliest one we have found, and it was working through Jack Decker's team at the Iowa State University, and that's called variation in feed intake or feed duration. So essentially that means is animals that have quite variable feed intake. So when they go into a heavily challenged period in their life, they drop off feed intake quite dramatically, and then it comes back up. Those animals are less resilient. So we can actually measure feed intake on an individual basis, calculate the variation on a daily basis, and use that as a very good predictor of resilience. So that's been one of the best ones we've seen so far. And it can be either just in feed intake, or it can be in the duration of time they spend at the feeder, because we can measure both of those. So that's the most promising one, but that doesn't mean that there aren't other ones as well. And there are some promising immune measures that we've come up with. So these are phenotypic measures that are gathered in the quarantine nursery. So that mimic what we could gather in a genetic nucleus, a multiplication farm. So some of those are natural antibodies. There's a couple of mitogen assays. So how we use blood cells to stimulate them in the laboratory and measure then how those cells change over time. So we can do some of that stuff in the laboratory. And another very promising one that we're actually taking forward into the next phase of our research is called the high immune response technology. And that is measures of both the antibody and the cellular immune response that we can do in a high health situation. And that appears to correlate with disease resilience as well. So we have some that are very promising, some we're moving forward on, some we need a bit more data. But I think over the course of this next couple of years, we will come out with a short list of assays that we think are the best indicators of resilience that can be used in nucleus operation.
Why is it considered so important to gain a better understanding of disease resilience and the factors that influence disease resilience?
Yeah, very, very good question. And I think the fundamental part of the answer there is because we need more tools to control disease on commercial farms. You know, diseases are getting more complex, production systems are getting larger. We have vaccines in our arsenal, but they're not always 100% effective. And we don't have some vaccines for some very key diseases. One example would be strep psoas, where vaccines are just not available, and they probably won't be for the near future. We also have this issue of antibiotics becoming less available to us through our judicious use movement, as well as we have, you know, the impounding factors of resistance that are developing associated with use or overuse. So really, the selection of genetically resilient pigs is really a valuable tool that we hope will become mainstream at some point in time in the future. We're not there yet, but there are certain companies that are starting to use some of the previous findings from PRRS and perhaps circovirus and incorporating resilience traits into their genetic selection processes. And we're thinking that in the future that will continue as we have more more results from this natural disease challenge unit as well.
How and by whom will the information gathered through this effort be applied, and what are the anticipated benefits of this application?
Yes, so the benefits will be applied to the Canadian swine industry across the board. PigGen Canada is a pre-commercial research consortium. So their members include Topigs Norseman, Genesis, AlphaGene, DNA Genetics, Fast Genetics, HiPOR, and Alliance Genetics Canada. So that team of companies will obtain results of the research, and then individually they will decide how the technology is best incorporated into their own proprietary genetic selection procedures. So we may see a number of different approaches being used. Some companies may choose one avenue versus another avenue, but as a whole, the Canadian industry will benefit, and will benefit before international partners where they're selling their stock will benefit as well. So we see that there's really a preferential treatment to the Canadian industry, and that's only fair because a lot of the funding has come from the governments of provinces and Canada.
And is there anything you would like to add?
It's been a great opportunity to work with this research group. It's a diversified team, and I think we learn from each other a lot, and it's a really exciting project. Everybody, after 4.5 years, is remaining fully committed, which really speaks to the importance of this research, and particularly of swine health in general, that the PigGen partners continually rank swine health as one of the top research priorities, and they're committed to see this through to the end. It certainly would not be possible without the broad support of the industry and the private and public sponsors. So I want to certainly acknowledge all of the funders and all of the partners of this project. If your listeners want more information, for the best source at this point in time are a couple of papers that we published in the last Banff Pork Seminar proceedings in 2020. So paper by myself and one of Jack Deckers and a third of Bob Kemp would kind of highlight what this project is all about and what benefits may come to it to the Canadian industry in the near future. So with that, I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today.
And thank you. Our guest has been Dr. John Harding, a professor with the Western College of Veterinary Medicine. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.